I'm just kidding. It's great to have everybody here. It's great just to be in the presence of the Lord, in the house of the Lord. As you heard, Pastor Keith, I am not the pastor. Pastor Keith is there. Had a procedure this week, and the final scan at the end of that said no more cancer. It's gone. It's done. And by the grace of God, he has just been a faithful warrior through this process. Wasn't sure how he was going to be feeling today. By the end of the day, we're just going to be believing 100% back ready to roll. My notes are back there, but I don't think we need them. Where it's going to go. Y'all know I don't have notes. Who was it? Who asked me about Alicia? She's out with the kids. She's like, do you actually have blanks today, or is it just a blank piece of paper in the worship guide? I was like, it's just a blank piece of paper, you know. And I don't do that on purpose. I really don't. I like to fill in the blanks, and I like structure. And our God is not a God of chaos. He's a God of order. But sometimes I just get so excited that I would hate to mislead what God's going to do. Amen. And then not get to any of the blanks. What's more disappointing, not having blanks or not getting to fill them in? I mean, so you can make your own blanks. There are going to be some things that I just believe God really wants to work in us. But really today, God wants to work through us. And there are some amens because they're like, yes, I have come to church ready for God to use me. And then there are some who have come and said, I would like for God to use me, but I don't know how. I haven't been taught. I haven't really done it before. Well, this story's for you. Because there's a story in the ministry of Jesus, and it's found in Luke chapter 8, it's found in Mark chapter 5, and it's in Matthew somewhere. You can tell which ones I read. They're the same story. But it's a story of an encounter that Jesus has with a demon-possessed man. And there's so much that we could unpack. We don't have enough time to unpack all of it. So you're going to have some homework. If you want to know more about certain aspects of the story, you can go and dig into it. That's good. It's good to leave church with homework. It's good to leave with things to dig into and process, but there are a couple things that we are going to focus on. So Mira, since I'm not going to read from my notes, I'm going to read from the screen, and we're going to start in Luke chapter 8, verse 26. Man, that's a lot of words. Man. I wasn't going to, but they don't all fit on the screen back there. All right, so they sailed to the region of the Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want from me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torture me." For Jesus had commanded the impure spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demons into solitary places. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him. And they begged Jesus repeatedly not to order them into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on a hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into the pigs, and he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. And when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people of the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear. So he got into the boat and left. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with them, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. There's a lot to unpack in here. But the ending of this story always strikes me as really what's a good word for it? Odd. If ever there was a candidate for needing a 12-step discipleship program, for some extra work in the realm of theological and doctrinal training, it was the man who was running around naked, possessed by demons in the graveyard. And that was the man that Jesus decided to make the president of the evangelistic society to the Gentiles for that region. On the first day that he was no longer demon-possessed. And the guy knew he wasn't qualified. He said, "Jesus, take me with you." The people weren't freaked out when he was running around naked in the tombs. That was fine. That was normal. That was culture. That was to be expected. But all of a sudden, this man who was demon-possessed is now sitting clothed and in his right mind, and they're afraid. Who is this man that cast out these demons? And they ask Jesus to leave. So if ever there's a thought in your mind that you are unqualified to minister the gospel, ask yourself this question. This morning, was I demon-possessed and came to a saving knowledge of Jesus? If the answer is yes, you're qualified. Anything other than that, you're qualified too. Because of the work that God has done. And I'm using it a little bit tongue-in-cheek because we have to grab a hold of this. In this verse where it says, when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out, sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed in the right mind, they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. That word cured, or healed in your translation it might say, is a really interesting word. Does anybody know what that word is in Greek? All right, get ready. We're going to nerd out on one Greek word today. And you're going to be surprised, I bet, by what word it is. The word that's translated cured or healed is the word sozo. Has anyone heard the word sozo before? Okay, what does sozo mean? Go ahead, shout it out. Okay, don't read the screen. I forgot the definition was up. Well, we think of it as the word saved. This word, to save, deliver, protect, heal, preserve, do well, make whole, shows up all throughout the New Testament. And we have to understand that this word is how and why we are empowered and free and have the authority to minister in the name of Jesus. But it's also something that we have to step into and walk through as God brings that salvation and that healing and that deliverance. We have to walk that out of the thoughts and the habits that we've been in our mind, and we need to go into living this salvation so that God can use us. That's what this man was doing. He didn't have this head knowledge of Jesus where he had memorized some scriptures and he knew some Bible songs and he went to church, and that was his concept of Jesus that he was proclaiming back in his hometown. You want to know what he was proclaiming? I was the naked guy. I was the crazy one in the tombs. There were so many demons that came out of me, they filled a herd of pigs. First time in history there was deviled ham. I told Connor that was coming. I had to put one in for Pastor Keith. There's a rich tradition of those. That's a lot of demons to fill a herd of pigs. And this Gentile believer, how do I know it was Gentile? Jews didn't have pigs. He didn't have the Israelite mentality of who the Messiah was supposed to be. He didn't know any better. He was breaking chains, running around without his clothes, scaring people. And Jesus, no, get out of here. Go bug the pigs. They left. He's sitting in his right mind. That's the testimony that he had to tell. What's your testimony? And don't you dare say it's, I grew up in church. I've been a good kid. I know. And don't hang your hat on the ugly testimony either. I had both. The testimony is that Christ came and died for sinners, of whom I am the worst. And by showing his grace, why'd you all say that's right? It is true. But if God worked in me, he's showing just how patient he is willing to be to work in you. That salvific power. There's a good word for you, salvific. Salvation, sozo. So here we go. We're going to run through scriptures. We're just going to run through because we got to get this, what salvation means so that we can walk in it. You ready? We're going to start in Matthew. We're going to go to Revelation. Actually, I don't think I put Revelation in there. We'll go to James. All right, up first. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will sozo his people from their sins. That's what we expect. Sozo makes sense right there. Jesus came to sozo. Okay, good. The woman with the issue of blood, for she thought, if I can just touch his robe, I will be sozo. That's so much more than just healed of a particular disease. That was a healing of spirit, soul, mind, body. Peter, when he's out on the waves, but when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. Sozo me, Lord, he shouted. In that hard place when you are overwhelmed and there is no way out and you don't know what to do, sozo me. This, do you see that this word, it's just woven and it goes, okay. This one doesn't fit, so I got to read it off the screen. Go ahead, Mira. Wherever he went, in villages, cities, or the countryside, they brought the sick out to the marketplaces. They begged him to let the sick touch at least the fringe of his robe, and all who touched him were sozo. Transformational power. The blind man. Jesus said to him, go, for your faith has sozoed you. Instantly, the man could see. And he followed Jesus down the road. What was his faith in? Was his faith in the miracle? Was the faith in that he could see? Or was his faith in the one that showed up and so radically transformed his life he couldn't do anything but follow him? Amen. We're going to keep going until the amens get louder. Don't worry, we got more verses. We got more. Then those who had seen what happened to the others told how the demon-possessed man had been healed. Sozo, that's the one we just read. That's a freebie. All right, say with me, what verse comes right before this? So God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever would believe in him will not perish but have eternal life. For God sent his son into the world, not to judge the world, but to sozo the world through him. That's the beauty of the message that we get to bring to this world that is going off the rails on a crazy train, and it is going fast. Faster and faster. It is just rolling downhill. But we don't get to stand up here and bring the judgment that Jesus didn't bring. There will be a time for judgment, but right now it is the day of salvation. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be sozo. Do you know where this verse is from? What's happening in Acts chapter 2? What's happening? Pentecost. What's Peter quoting? He's quoting the New Testament, right? He's quoting Jesus, right? He's going all the way back to the little shepherd Joel and saying, call on the name of the Lord and you will get salvation for spirit, soul, mind, body. Later on, Paul, there is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. That name, Paul talks about in Philippians, that at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Before the demons had gone out of the man, what did the man do? He fell at the feet of Jesus. In Mark, it adds, he fell at the feet of Jesus and worshiped. A legion of demons could not stop the spirit of a man so touched by the presence of his Savior that it could keep him from worshiping. We're about to get real for a second. Have you ever wondered why you can live a life of sin and do everything that you want to do for 6 days a week, but come in and have a genuine encounter with the presence of God and then leave and go back and do exactly what you were doing? Because the overwhelming presence of God will bring about a conviction of the reality of who he is. But if you do not step into the salvation and out of where you've been, you will walk right back to where you were. And you didn't get the sozo, you got the touchy-feelies. You got the warm and fuzzies. And you will get that in the presence of God. I'm going to confess, I had no warm fuzzies this morning. No feeling. Still don't. Just running on the truth of the conviction that the sozo of God, the sozo that comes from Jesus, is the completed work. And I don't have to feel all warm and fuzzy and tingly. I'm just genuinely excited because I was all of those people. I was drowning. I was oppressed. I'm going to leave it alone for now. No, I'm not. The demon-possessed man was possessed by demons. Can a Christian be possessed by the devil? We can argue with that. Can a Christian be oppressed by the devil because you give him 18,000 footholds in your life? Absolutely. Can you be oppressed because you give him one foothold? Absolutely. Can you be oppressed because you closed the door and left the window open? Yes, some of the things you're dealing with are because you let it in. And I get to say that because I did it. And I was good at sinning. I was really good at it. And then one day, Jesus just showed up and said, you're done. And I was. And I was just, it wasn't even my life was in pieces. I was a pile of just dust. Just, it wasn't even like the glass could be put back together. It was just powder. And Jesus said, we're going to do it right. Spirit, soul, mind, and body. You're either going to walk in salvation or you're not. Which one is it going to be? I don't know. Maybe you are sitting here and that's the question that you're asking. Am I in or am I out? This is what God has for you. Healing, deliverance, protection, freedom, to do well by you, to make you whole. And you are charged to bring that to everybody around you. And I'll tell you what, it's got to start in the church. Because if we don't practice it here, there's no way you're going to do in your workplace what you won't do in here. If you won't tell somebody about the work that God has done in them and through them, if you won't pray for somebody in the aisle next, and get ready, I might ask you to pray for somebody sitting next to you. If you won't do it here, there's no way on God's beautiful green earth that you're going to do it out there. Because it's weird. We might have an opportunity for you to come up and get prayer. If I stand up and walk to the front, somebody's going to know that I need prayer. Let me tell you, everybody knows that everybody in here needs prayer. We got to keep going. They replied, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, along with everyone in your household. Acts 16, that's where Paul and Silas are just worshiping. There it is again. Worshiping in the middle of the night, in prison, in chains, singing hymns. Everything breaks. Doors are flung open. Captives are set free. And instead of running away to their freedom, what do? They do what Jesus told the demon-possessed man who was healed to do. They stayed and they shared the testimony. and a man and his household were radically transformed. Spirit, soul, mind, body. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is from Romans. Paul is calling back to what Peter called back to when he went to Joel. And this is crazy. It's so crazy that the message of the cross is foolish to those who are headed to destruction. But you who are being sozo, no, it's the very power of God. What is the very power of God? The message of the cross. The totality of the power of God, the salvation that comes in that moment, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, is what we have the honor and privilege of walking in. And we didn't earn this. This is why I get so excited about this. God sozoed you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for any of this. It's a gift from God. The faith to receive this is a gift from God. And I said this earlier, it's a trustworthy saying and everyone should accept it. Christ came into the world to save sozo sinners. I'm the worst of them all. But his patience is on display in me. His patience is on display for me to say to you, if he did it in me, he wants to do it in you. Here we go. Such a prayer offered in faith will what? Sozo the sick. And the Lord will make you well. And if you have committed any sins, you will be forgiven. That's why Jesus said to so many along the way, son, daughter, your sins are forgiven. You can't forgive sins. What's easier? Your sins are forgiven or get up and walk? Both. Go. Same word. Same thing. Sorry, I'm not yelling at you. I'm just. So what do we do with this? John, but all who believed him and accepted him, he gave them the right to become children of God. That word right is authority. As children of God, the completed work of Jesus on the cross, the power of salvation, the full power of God is at work in us. And we now not only have the authority, but we are charged to go walk in this authority that Jesus took, gave to us, and said, go do the stuff. He did. The end of Matthew. Let's go. Jesus came and told his disciples, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, you go. My authority is your authority. Go in my name and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus wouldn't let the demon-possessed man into the boat. He said, you have work to do. It's time for the church, global, to walk in the fullness of salvation, to minister to each other this gospel of freedom, so that the world looks at us and wants the power of God in their lives. The world is not going to want our structure and our systems. The world isn't rushing out to find something else to do on a Sunday morning because their schedule has a void. They are looking for power. Let's walk in it. Worship team, I guess, yeah, you guys can come back up. It's as good a time as any. We're going to transition into some time for prayer. And this could look all kinds of different ways. Prayer team, wherever prayer team is, prayer team, go ahead and come up. But if you all don't fit, some of you, if you're on the prayer team, just stay where you are. Holy Spirit, what do you want to do? All right. There is an anointing to break things. And that's just what Jesus does when he shows up. But Jesus here's the thing. You don't have to ask Jesus to be your Lord. He already is. You don't have to ask Jesus to be your Savior. He already is. The question is, do you want to acknowledge it now, or do you want to acknowledge it when he comes riding in on a white horse with his robe drenched in the blood of his enemies, shooting swords out of his mouth and fire in his eyes, revealing the heavenly picture of who he is to the world? It's going to be one or the other. But one is an invitation for the salvific power of God, for the sozo power of God to be alive and at work in your spirit, your soul, your mind, and your body. And there is nothing that can stand in the way of that unless you let it. And I think that's what today is about. I think that's what today is for. I'm not even going to ask you to stand. If you want to come up and get prayer, get prayer. If you want to lean over to your neighbor and say, hey, can you pray for me? Do it. We're going to dim the lights down. Are you guys going to sing? What are you going to do? Okay. We're going to worship. But as excited as I get and as excited as I have been, I'm not going to try and will you out of your seat because I want to see the front full. I'm going to tell you this. Jesus wants you to go and tell the world all that he has done for you. And that starts with saying, Jesus died for me. That starts with saying that Jesus died for me and sought me out and reconciled me to the Father. So today is a day of solidifying that. If there are strongholds in your life, if there are things that you keep going back to that are keeping you from walking in the salvation, come tell someone, put it down, let it get consumed by the all-powerful God, and leave it there. If you want to know what happens if you throw something into a burning fire and try to take it out, come talk to me. I got the blisters to prove it. So I was doing a bonfire. When you start piling stuff on, you're tempted to want to move it. Just leave it alone and let God work on it. Holy Spirit, just come and stir a conviction in our hearts of the things that we need to let go of so that we can come to a place of freedom, so that we can come to a place of walking in salvation, spirit, soul, mind, and body, where there is freedom, where there is deliverance, where there is your spirit working in us and through us, and that we are unashamed to lean over to our neighbor in church where we are confessing that we're here for you to say, I need you to pray for me because I'm struggling. I need you to pray for me because I'm sick. I need you to pray for me because I need breakthrough in this area. God, don't let us be okay staying where we are. God, don't let us be okay staying in bondage. Don't let us be okay staying in anxiety or depression or confusion. God, let today be the day of salvation, because it is the full power of God in that completed work on the cross. Let's worship, pray. Get a neighbor to pray. Pray for them. Pray up front. Today is the day of salvation. Stand. Let's worship. Oh, stand in the way of that worship. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. We confess our sins, we repent in response to the glorious wonder of who God is, and we walk away from where we've been and towards who He is in a life of worship. So as we keep worshiping, as we just spend a couple more minutes just singing, I'm gonna lift my hands like I am unashamed. I am unashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. I am unashamed of what God has done to me. I am not proud of what I have done. I am not proud of where I have been, but I am proud that I have the Holy Spirit in me that gives me confidence to say, Abba, Father, Daddy, I am your child. I just worship you. I just love you. I just love on you as best I know how. I'm going to love you as best I know how, and I'm going to take another step closer to you today. Whatever is keeping you from taking that next step, today is the day to step through it as we worship. But name it. Put it out there. Let someone pray with you. Release it. It has no authority over your life unless you just hold on to it and say, I'm going to do better. I got it myself. No. We let it go in Jesus' name. We let it go in Jesus' name. Spiritual oppression, you have no place in Jesus' name. Pride, you have no place in Jesus' name. Spirit of control, you have no place in Jesus' name. Sickness, disease, you have no place in Jesus' name, because the salvation has come. God, we just worship. God, we just worship. Sometimes you just have to say his name. I'm not going to tell you who it is. If he wants to identify himself, he can. I had a friend and we were just talking about the name of Jesus, and he's like, I felt so silly just sitting on my bed, but I was like, Jesus. And then that moment, the temptation that was staring him in the face had to go. Just say his name, Jesus. Say his name, Jesus. What a beautiful name it is. All right, you are just blessed. You are highly favored. Because Jesus has completed a work on the cross, and he is not finished with you yet. Take the next step. Don't wait till next Sunday to take the step after you took today. Take some more steps today, tomorrow. Get with someone. I mean this. Until the church can look at each other and say, I'm not perfect, you're not perfect, can we pray for each other? And we're going to name some specific stuff. We're not going anywhere other than the warm fuzzies. But we don't live in a culture that warm fuzzies is going to fix. Jesus, thank you for your faithfulness. When you show up, good things happen. You are here. We love you. We honor you. We just put you before us. Go, guide our steps. And it's in your amazing name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Greet someone on the way out. Go grab your kids.